Hello, Internet. Welcome to episode 183 of the Assorted Calibers podcast, the Second Amendment podcast that is a little bit for everyone. I'm Weirdbeard, and tonight is an ACP roundtable. And per the standard show, we have the lovely Aaron Paulette.
Bah humbug.
We have Oddball.
I would say I haven't bought a gun this year, but that would be a lie.
Really? It's the third.
He actually bought it on Saturday.
Yes.
I was there when he wrote the check.
For our listeners, he bought a gun on New Year's Day. Good Lord. Okay.
I am a little envious.
He had a resolution. I'm out.
And of course, you've heard him, David.
Hello. New year, new me.
In my defense, I have not bought a knife all year.
Well, there.
That's going to change.
Possibly tomorrow.
He's probably on knifecenter.com in the other browser tab right now.
So what else happened 2 days ago?
Oh.
Anniversary of the nascence of Weirdington Elizabeth Beard.
Oh, that is true. I had a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, happy birthday.
That was the day when you pecked your way out of the shell?
I was untimely ripped from my mother's womb.
C-section baby.
Yes, I was preemie. And I wanted out now.
So, it arrived a bit late because it arrived today. But mm-hmm. I got you something.
Oh, well, let us have a look. All right, I have this package.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I am.
We don't need to hear about your package.
Well, I'm feeling the package, and it has a
TMI.
Very, very familiar shape to it. So let us pull this open. And I was right; it is a flask. Oh, and it is inscribed. Oh, it has a duck. He is wearing goggles. I don't know if they do nothing. And it says, "Release the Quacken."
Nice.
Thank you, Aaron.
You're welcome.
Oh, this is adorable. Where did you find this?
It's well, okay. I googled duck flasks, and
wow, spelling is really important in that search.
And I did find it on Amazon, but they weren't going to deliver it in time. So this one I actually got from Walmart.
Okay.
And it's into Walmart.com, and maybe they shipped it from one of the stores in Michigan. But yeah.
Hilariously, we did the exact same thing. Is the my daughter just suddenly like a few days before Christmas. She was on Arts for Kids Hub. I think I talked about this in a gun blog variety cast, but it's a little, you know, artist show. They were on YouTube. I don't know if they still are, but we've got a subscription to them, and we're more than happy to. It's really, really fun. They just do various art projects, and they have these markers that are like some really, really high end artist markers. She's like, I really want these artist markers. And my wife went on Amazon and went, oh, sweetie, I want these for Christmas. And she's like, oh, sweetie, I am so sorry. They're all sold out on Amazon. Look there. And they were, they had nothing on stock on Amazon, or it wasn't going to come for like ages. And she's like, I'm so sorry. So she wrote a letter to Santa and gave it to the elf on the shelf. And meanwhile, my wife went.
You invited the Fae into your house?
Yes.
Cool.
What is wrong with you?
And
I bet you've got a welcome mat too.
And then
notice he's not answering you, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have a welcome mat.
No. Well,
but I also don't have a come back with a warrant mat because my wife wouldn't let me.
I mean, at least you're practicing proper anti-vampire security, but.
Yes.
Come on, man. You let the Fae into your house. What's up with that? You're trying to tell a heartwarming story involving your daughter.
Yes. Yes. My wife found it on Walmart and ordered it. And she like showed it to me while she was distracted doing something else. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And so that night when I was moving the elf, the note to Santa went through the paper shredder so it would vanish forever. And And then, yeah. And then come Christmas, we like wrote a little note on it from Santa. But hilariously, there was a moment where she was digging through it and there was like a thanks for shopping at our store. And like, you know, message from the manufacturer that was not Santa Claus Incorporated.
Oh dear.
But my daughter finally came to the decision that, you know what? Christmas is only one day a year. What else is Santa doing with all of his infrastructure? He's making
sugar
for the stores.
Nice.
Now, you know, you probably only have a few more years of Santa time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That is why we are cherishing it. And that's why it's such a good story.
Yep. But that also means you only have a few more years of buying yourself something really extravagant and marking it from Santa.
Now that is not true because it just later became the, we don't want to wrap this with my parents or also more specifically, it was always the thing that I wanted the most. And that would be, and that would just never, there would be no boxes that met that shape at all. And then suddenly on Christmas morning, there it was. Cause of course they just tuck it away somewhere. Cause you gotta keep the suspense there.
It's all right, David. I understood what you meant.
Thank you.
Well, how was everybody else's holiday?
I got to watch Oddball buy a gun.
That's true. Well, what was the gun, Oddball?
A Beretta 1934, which was...
Gosh, who would have thought it was a Beretta? I didn't see that coming. Knocked me over with a feather.
Completely out of type for me.
What's that one, Chamberlain? Is that 32?
380.
Okay. 1935 is 32.
Yeah.
Because now that they had a small service gun, they wanted to put it in a smaller caliber.
Is it marked 380 or is it marked 9mm Cordo?
It is marked 9 Cordo.
So, and I still want at some point Oddball to do a family photo of all of his Berettas in a nice array on, you know, like a pattern blanket or something.
How many do you have at this point?
A few.
Are you officially in the category? My father asked me the other day, like, how many guns do you have? And I'm like, honestly, no idea.
Yeah.
Like, I got a ballpark. We could definitely do an over under.
Yeah, I can do the same thing. Somewhere between 70 and 80.
God. Oh.
Pull up my database and
probably,
check.
Probably like 10 or 12 Berettas.
Yeah, that's a good start.
Does that include the FN Browning Beretta?
Yes.
Okay.
Does that include the Walther P-38?
I did not ask this time.
It does not include the Walther P-38 or the P-1.
Why would it?
Because the Beretta 92 operating system is a derivative of the P-38 operating system.
Right.
Yeah. And those are like the only pistols ever to use that operating system.
Because it sucks.
No,
I won't agree with that. It doesn't suck. It does require a little bit. Well, maybe, but it does require a little bit more attention to metallurgy than some of the other systems. From a maintenance standpoint, it's an excellent system because if the locking block starts to wear, you pop it out, you put in a new locking.
Yeah.
But from a winning two world wars stance,
you're right. It's the thing that when the U.S. finally came to its senses and decided to replace that old thing. They went with it.
And how many world wars did they win after that? None.
Not a one.
No.
No, because everybody was too afraid to get into a war.
Well, we had nuked the last ones who got into a war with us, so I don't blame them.
Well, there's that.
Oh, yeah, for the next world war we get into, we're just using the cheat codes.
Yeah.
So weird. Although I'd like to remind you that this is a round table and not a mag dump.
That's true. That is true. So this
was a reminder because you've already used potty words twice.
Yeah. So watch your beeping language.
You're only making life harder for yourself.
Well, that's understandable.
Okay.
We could help make life harder for Beard.
Well, I will have to bleep it out and I'll have to remember where I used them because I don't remember using potty words. But yes.
Anyway,
shall we talk about gun news?
Gun news?
Well, I want to start off because this warmed the cockles of my heart. is that this was done by Rob on Twitter. It was Rob Romano, the guy that does all the 2A news stuff.
I don't know.
I forget. But either way, I've got a link to the original tweet on all that. It is from Brady United Against Gun Violence, because that Brady mononym didn't last very long. And it says, in 2021, we mobilized activists to eliminate the filibuster because the filibuster is killing us, and launched Service Never Stops campaign with End Family Fire. And this is their success story. It is literally two things that amounted to nothing.
Well, I mean, if you click through, they've got 10 victories that they claimed. I couldn't get past the second one because the stench of feces was too overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's one of those, let's just say they've really had to move the goalposts and stretched some categories to make the to put some V's on the board.
Yeah, and some of the ones that they don't mention are things like, we sued somebody. Did you win? We sued somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And of course, there's the whole, I talked about it in the last show, about the whole, like, the filibuster is killing us campaign. It's one of those, like, there has never been a gun control law that has been put up for a filibuster. It is either passed or it has been shut down, all under standard parliamentary procedures. But they're putting this in because it's like a super hyper partisan issue, and it's just, it's bad box office, and it's also weak sauce.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I mean, one of the things that they actually did do something was they got New York, the state of New York, and what was it, Los Angeles and San Francisco, to ban, quote, ghost guns.
Mm-hmm. Which can't really clearly define either.
Which, good luck with that.
Well, who was it who got on the wrong side of DRM for 3D printer files?
That would be Rob Pincus.
Wait, what happened with this? I'm actually not familiar with this story.
Go ahead. You know more about it.
This was sort of a spinoff of the kerfuffle we had a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the times that Rob Pincus has put his foot in his mouth is he has become highly interested in 3D printing guns because, you know, he started up a gun manufacturer that doesn't manufacture guns. He has talked a couple times about how what they really need is like an iTunes store for 3D printed gun receivers and put in watermarks and DRM and stuff.
And the 3D printing community, gun or not, reacted right. with a loud raspberry.
Yeah, the 3D printing community is very much from the open source software community, and therefore DRM is a non-starter to begin with for multiple reasons, and iTunes is basically the antithesis of everything they stand for. So
and yeah, but you really can't believe them because they don't use their real names.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I threw up a little bit in my mouth when I said that.
So, yeah. Of course, he's not the only one. There have been people that have tried to actually legislate regulations of 3D printers, including requiring the controller boards to somehow recognize gun parts and refuse to print them. Mm-hmm. When, you know, the 3D printer community is mostly a bunch of people that are already okay with ordering parts from some shady website in China.
Wish.com, AutoSeer.
There are multiple big names in the 3D printer parts field that Their official website is on Alibaba or AliExpress. So, about that.
And of course, this is the same community that like jailbreaks their iPhones and Android stuff to make it do exactly what they wanted to do. So,
yeah,
somehow thinking that somehow the printer is just going to forever betray them just seems a little short-sighted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there.
Yeah.
Do we have other stories?
I do. This is from our friend Stephen Gutowski at The Reload. Gutowski or Gutowski?
Gutowski.
Okay. Wasn't sure where the emphasis was. So this was from December 31st, 2021. Illinois politician who opposed concealed carry saved from carjackers by gun-wielding husband. A politician who voted against legalizing concealed carry in Illinois was saved from armed carjackers last week after her husband fired shots at them with his own concealed gun.
Man.
I just wish that happened at a national level. Because this is literally the sort of thing that I pray happens to Dianne Feinstein or Nancy Pelosi.
That someone attempts to carjack them and somebody with a firearms license defends them. Nobody winds up getting hurt.
Yeah, well, not specifically a carjacking, but just, you know, threatened at gunpoint. And then a licensed lawful concealed carrier comes and saves them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A peaceable citizen.
I mean, that was literally like one of the many head scratching moments in the Brady campaign endorsed movie Miss Sloan, which I highly recommend nobody watch. I mean, it's one of those. I watched it so you don't have to. And it was so bad. Like, oh my God. Like, it was like, it is ranked below Geely as far as box office scores.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, it is like, not only is it like bad because it's like stupid anti-gun propaganda, but it is also bad just in it is so poorly put together and the protagonist is deeply unlikable. But yeah, there is a scene in like a weird twist that kind of goes nowhere where she is attacked by somebody. I'm trying to remember if the person's like a fictitious NRA, whatever, this called it the gun lobby fanboy or something like that, but somebody attacks her and somebody else comes up and with a gun and scares the attacker off. And so it's like literally like the ideal like defensive gun situation where it's somebody coming up with a gun, it's a total stranger, it's not like hired bodyguard or all that, and they don't like, it's not like they put somebody in the ground to save their life.
It's the vast majority of defensive gun uses is in no shots fired.
Exactly.
And yet because, that was supposedly a gotcha to us.
Right. Well, what's that saying? The left can't meme. I think it might be an extension of that.
Yeah. But
honestly, if something like that did happen to Nancy Pelosi or Dianne Feinstein or one of the others, I honestly don't think it would change their position. I don't think they would learn the right lesson.
It probably wouldn't either, but we would get a lot of mileage out of it.
Valid. That's valid.
Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead, David.
I'd say kind of like the guy who got President Biden to say, "Let's go, Brandon."
Yes.
Oh, but the thing with Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein and all that. I mean, they're so entrenched and they've been so enriched from their time of public service that it wouldn't even come down to a concealed carry holder because they've all got private security. I mean, when we were spying on the Moms Demand Action rally in Atlanta, Shannon Watts came in a private car. And she came in with three armed bodyguards.
And the hypocrisy did not leave a dent on her brain.
Nope. Because,
the
bottom line is they leave themselves that nice little loophole for it anyway, is that person was either a sworn police officer or former police officer. I know Michael Bloomberg's security team is all former NYPD cops. And ironically enough, when he goes to his place of Remuda, he has better security than the prime minister of Bermuda when he's going around. So yeah, rules for me and not for thee. And yeah, the hypocrisy never, the hypocrisy is well known to the people who already were against them, and the people that were for them, they'll find a way to explain it away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Oddball, what did you just post?
I posted a gun that will possibly be coming out in 2022. It is the Kalashnikov USA Chaos.
It's like an AK and a shotgun.
It looks like a Saiga with a bird's head grip.
That's pretty much exactly what it is. And the size of it's basically a shockwave. Someone decided to take the Saiga shotgun and make a shockwave out of it. So it's got the short barrel and bird's head grip.
That's what I was going to say. It was an AK and a shockwave head. Love child.
Yeah. 14-inch barrel. Overall length of 26 inches.
Probably 23 7/8. Because NFA.
Right. And of course, will you can stick either 5 or 10 round box mags into it.
Does it take the drums?
This short article does not say.
But if it takes standard Saiga magazines, then it should.
But that would be a question of whether or not, let's see here, based on the company's AK pattern KS-12T shotgun. So if the KS-12T accepts those drums, then I would imagine that this one would too.
And only because I like to explain the weird little loopholes that this gun finds.
Oh, dear Lord.
So it needs to be, I would assume it's probably like 26.5 inches or 1/4 inches. Because, so the rules stay, all right, so when you look at it, you're going to say, oh, that's a short-barreled shotgun. Except it legally can't be a shotgun because it doesn't have a stock. And so
from the factory,
that's right. So therefore you can't shoulder fire it, and shotguns per US law state that it needs to be shoulder fired. Okay. Well, if it can't be shoulder fired, and it doesn't have a long barrel, then it's a pistol. Well, it can't be a pistol because pistols per law need to have rifled barrels. And this is smoothbore. Well, then it's, you know, and furthermore, pistols are designed to be concealable
and fired with one hand.
And concealable is defined as being under 26 inches long, and it will be probably just over 26 inches in overall length. Mm-hmm. And then I'm trying to think if I'm missing one more of the little
it's not any other weapon. Because right. Any other weapon, by legal definition, is supposed to be concealable.
Okay,
it's something that does not immediately resemble a firearm.
Didn't like Black Aces Tactical do this about 5 years ago?
Yes,
yes, yes.
They were the ones that started it.
Okay. Although they didn't base it off of an AK, I don't.
That's true, and I think they used a pistol brace instead of a bird's head grip, but.
They had both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. But, I remember seeing them at a couple of shows, and they had the bird's head. Wow. Bird's head semi-auto magazine fed shotgun.
Yeah.
And I was very tempted.
Yeah. It was based off of the, I'm trying to remember if it was a Mossberg pattern or Remington pattern.
Yeah. One of those two.
If I remember correctly, I think it was based off the Remington pattern.
I want to say you're right on that.
Just go ahead and say it.
Okay, you're right.
Thank you.
But yeah, it was basically, well, we can do this where we started off with what was basically a Remington 870 or that is tube fed, or one that has had the magazine, the box magazine feed modification done to it.
Right.
Yeah. So they're interesting. I mean, they, mm-hmm. they fit kind of into a weird niche where I find them to be amazingly cool and alluring. And I have shot a Mossberg, a 590 that was modified with a bird's head grip. So it was turned into a short barreled shotgun. And I was surprised to find that that bird's head grip is remarkably good at controlling recoil. So, mm-hmm. so it's not as woefully impractical as you may think, but at the same time, like, the butt end of that grip is just as begging to knock your teeth out if you try to use the sights.
Interestingly enough, and I'm not recommending that you do this or you start doing this with a.
Oh, it actually does have sights. Okay, I didn't until I zoomed in. I did not see the sights.
There have been a couple people that if you haven't, have you heard of the cheek weld?
Yes. Ian did a video on cheek weld pistols.
Yeah, where you actually hold the end of it basically with one of these guys. You hold you press the base of your thumb into your cheek, and apparently you can in fact use the sights and not lose any molars that way.
Interesting. So it kind of you kind of hold it like you're drawing a bow.
Yes, except a lot firmer into your face, mm-hmm. which is kind of terrifying if you ask me. But I've also it's also become a kind of cool kid's way of shooting pistols like the the Kel-Tec is it the P30 that's the 30 round 22 pistol that they have.
Yes.
That has the fully enclosed slide, so there's not a slide coming back and smacking you in the face,
I think is that the P33 that has the yes. basically
yes like, the P33
it has a Borstart style overhang at the rear.
Yeah, or I guess you could do it with like an Uzi, but
Uzi has a stock.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Kel-Tec CP33.
CP33, yeah. Which is an amazingly accurate pistol.
Just don't try loading the magazine fully.
You can do it, you just have to pay attention.
Is that one of the ones that takes like the super, like I remember when the was it the P20, the what's the one that Aaron your mom has?
PMR30.
The PMR30, yes. And yeah, that one I remember when it first came out, and I don't know how, because I think I mentioned this to you, and you're like, nah, I don't really see any of that. But I remember seeing that there was a whole like section in the owner's manual on how to load the magazine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a quad, as you can see from the picture, it's a quad stack rimfire magazine. If you look closely, you can see that the rims are precisely position so that the higher rounds are in front.
Well, I mean, they do mention that in the owner's manual. They tell you how to load it so that you avoid rim lock.
Right.
Yeah, and rim lock with a rimfire cartridge can be a little bit more exciting.
Oh, yeah. That would be bad, wouldn't it?
Depending on the weight of the bolt and the power of the recoil spring.
You know, I've actually never had rim lock in any gun at all. You know, never in any of my Mosins or anything like that. What exactly happens when you get rim lock?
Well, I did actually experience rim lock years ago in one of my Lee Enfield 303s. It was not the rifle's fault. It was the ammunition. But basically, rim lock is when the rim of the top cartridge winds up behind the rim of the lower cartridge. And the bolt does not have enough force, and the rims do not have the proper geometry to ride over each other. So the bolt, trying to go forward, hits the rim, which rams into the rim below it. That lower cartridge can't move forward, preventing the upper cartridge from moving forward.
And I've seen it happen with the CP33, and at the point that it does, where it's a concern. The bolt does not have anywhere near the energy to actually dent the primer.
Okay.
It just means that the gun is good and jammed up until you take the magazine out and remove the offending cartridge.
But is it hard to get them out, or?
You really will want to lock the slide back. I mean, it's just like a double feed on a pistol. It's actually probably a little bit less difficult to clear than a double feed.
If thine rimlock offends thee, pluck it out.
Right. So it's the remedial action is a bit more than tap rack bang, but
do not use that phrase anymore.
That is verboten now.
Tap rack assess. Oh. Situation can change while you're tap rack. You don't want to just go bang before you assess the situation.
Okay.
Sorry. Pushed my own button there.
I mean, it is a good point.
Yeah, it's...
But I want to shoot somebody!
Right?
As long as you shoot the right person, it's fine.
You are going to have to drop the magazine, but it's not like... Oh shoot! Now I have to go to the armorer's bench and pull out punch tools and stuff. So
yeah, well, that's good. What are you having, David? And did you bring enough for everybody?
I am having little peppermint candies, and yes, I did. And you're all welcome to come here and share them.
Okay. Yay!
Thank you, David.
And I believe didn't you post another gun announcement?
I did. Smith & Wesson, beloved Smith & Wesson, has. I mean, I don't think they've announced. I think this has been leaked.
It's there have been some at least a couple of the YouTubers that are in positions that they got sent early examples and were most likely told, yeah, do not release your video until X date, that have released the videos, so I'm pretty sure it's official now.
And Smith & Wesson does have a CSX page on their website.
Okay.
I just put the link, I can toss it in the show notes if you want, but I just put it in the Discord chat so you can click on it and take a look.
Okay, it's just, there's nothing on it.
No. You'll see that it does have the CSX trademark series,
mm-hmm.
but there's no information yet. So right. They do actually have a page on the website. They just don't have any content on that.
All right. So let's talk about what this thing is. It looks like an M&P Shield Plus,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but if you look down to it, it's almost got like a Hudson trigger on it.
Yep. It's got dongle.
A thumb safety at the back that appears to be hinged to the beaver tail, which that looks kind of strange to me. And it's got a little skeletonized 1911 style trigger. This is a single action only M&P compatible, M&P equivalent.
But there's something else that's also important. What is the frame made of?
You know, that is a good question. I was looking at that and I was wondering, is that a metal frame or is that just an interesting polymer finish?
According to the listing, it's an alloy frame.
Yeah, it's aluminum.
Aluminium to our friends across the pond.
Because it's got the M&P interchangeable backstraps on it, so yep. It's got the polymer backstrap. But that is an aluminum frame, huh?
Yeah, that's what the reporting is. Now, my theory on the oddly positioned safety, because it's much farther back than on any of the other M&Ps that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But my theory is it's because of the hammer. It's I'm guessing it's a cocked and locked situation. So the safety has to be able to engage something to do with the, I'm sorry, I said that backwards. It is not a cocked and locked, because you can see in the pictures, the hammer is down, but the safety is up.
Yes.
And unless they decide to go completely backwards to every other safety that's mounted in the proper place, up is safe.
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be something internal to the mechanism by the hammer that the safety engages. So you can see, if you look closely at the image, you'll see just behind the thumb lever of the safety, you can see there's a little notch in the frame.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I'm thinking the interrupter mechanism, for lack of a term, is to prevent the hammer from moving in a certain place. That's my theory.
Yeah.
I got nothing to support it other than a basic understanding of mechanics.
I just think it's interesting. And I might add that the, I don't know if you guys made this connection, but CS is a frequent, letters used in Smith & Wesson designating Chief Special.
Ah,
okay. So they weren't just naming it after a railroad company.
Cause you had the whole like CS9 and CS45 and the, all of the hammer fired J frames were all considered Chief Special. But
I thought it was just experimental tear gas.
I think not.
No. I mean, it could be, they didn't do tear gas projectors before.
Mm. But yeah, so it's interesting to see them diving into this world since there's a whole bunch of companies that are propping up with all sorts of weird, not quite a 1911, but, but mixing the trigger pull of a 1911, which is unsurpassed.
Yeah.
With the modern features of more modern firearms. So
Yeah,
go ahead, Oddball.
And I would, just to backtrack a little bit on what David said, I would think that it would have to be able to be carried cocked and locked, because it's been confirmed that it's a single action only.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I'm just thinking is the safety can be cocked and locked or unlocked. Uncocked and locked.
Right.
That's not an easy phrase to say.
No.
But I believe that the safety is irregardless of the
irregardless is not a word.
I know, that's why I like saying
it. Yeah. Well that seems to be how things go, is the obviously with the 1911. David, does the high power safety engage directly with the does it lock the slide?
No.
Okay. No, So that's like old school 1911 and pretty much only 1911 stuff of having the safety be so that you.
I'm sorry. Did you say lock the slide?
Yeah. Can you operate? Could you unload a high power while it is fully on safe?
No. It depends on the iteration. But the earlier ones, the safety did engage a notch in the slide, preventing the slide from moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I
misunderstood, sorry.
Yeah, there's a number of pistols that have the safety on the frame that if the safety is engaged, it also locks the slide. That's.
Yep. But it seems like most of the ones that have come out in modern times, you know, like... My P365, it's the Massachusetts legal one, so it's got the thumb safety on it. And that one, yeah, you could do whatever you want with the gun with the thumb safety on. It just locks the striker to the rear.
It was put in as an afterthought. Right. Like the Bursa Thunder 9 I have, I'm pretty sure it locks the slide.
Now, with the high power, since we're talking about this, because the high power is a single-action, hammer-fired semi-automatic... Unlike the 1911, with the 1911, you cannot engage the safety when the hammer is down. With the high power, you can engage when the hammer is all the way back or in the half-cock position. When the hammer is all the way down, the safety will not engage. But half-cock and full-cock, it will. So,
are y'all aware that this turns into handgun radio every time we have like a round table or a mag dump?
Well, it's an easy subject to talk about.
All right.
And fun. And edumacational. I mean, we were also talking about not a handgun, not a rifle, not a shotgun, not any other weapon earlier.
Yeah, but I had something to contribute to that.
I am curious why they decided to go for hammer-fired. I mean, yes, the trigger pull on a hammer-fired can be better for single action. But striker fired is pretty much the standard in defensive handguns these days.
Yeah, though the whole I'm seeing this as an iteration beyond the M&P Shield EZs in the fact that those are also single action hammer fired guns. They look striker fired because the hammer is concealed. But that's there's absolutely a hammer inside those guns.
Which brings me to my follow-up point is, and I was going to bring up the easy myself, is why do they go with an exposed hammer on a concealed carry gun?
The big thing I can think of is a lot of folks that are appendix carrying.
Oh.
But they typically like the double actions so that they can hold the hammer down or install, like I know Aaron has the Glock thing on her Glock.
The Glock thing. Can you be less precise?
I'm trying to think of what it was called. It was kickstarted. It replaces the back plate, and it's got a thing where as the trigger is depressed, the little back plate pushes out. And so if you put your thumb on it, like as you're holstering, it is very, very difficult to have an accidental discharge in case something gets into the trigger guard. I think it's got a Greek name, but I can't remember.
Is it the Glock Gadget?
Yes.
By Tau?
There we go. Group? Oh, okay. See, I knew there was Greek in there somewhere, but yes, the Glock Gadget. That is precisely what I have.
Yes, the official name apparently is the Glock Striker Control Device.
Gadget works called for
the
me.
Gadget. Yep.
Yeah, and I think when Aaron bought hers, I think they were actually calling it the Gadget, and I'm guessing they decided, you know what, let's
make this something copyrightable.
Yeah.
Heck, I didn't just buy it. I backed it. It was like on Kickstarter or something.
That's sorry.
Cool. Yes. Yeah.
That is very cool.
Yeah. It was, I think I've told this story before, but when I was at Mag 40 and I was using the Glock, one of the instructors came up to me and was very concerned. And it was like, Aaron, there's something wrong with your Glock. What do you mean? Well, I noticed the back plate is loose. And it's like, oh, don't worry about it. Here, let me show you how it worked. And we went up right up to the berm as I loaded my carry ammo. And I showed him how it worked. And it was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So it was nice. It was neat because I got to show an instructor something he'd never seen before.
Mm-hmm. And as an instructor, we actually really enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
We seriously do. I'm sure that there are some who don't, but but for the most part, we really do enjoy learning something new ourselves.
Yeah, and this particular guy, I've completely blanked on his name, but he wasn't just, oh, I've attended Mag 40 before. I mean, this is a guy who's a professional competitive shooter, so he knows his stuff. And he was making sounds like, I need to investigate that. I might need to buy one. So, yeah, that was really cool.
Very cool.
Well, especially when you got it to the point where you're literally seeing the back plate of the Glock go back and forth as you're making your trigger pulls, and that, for something that's supposed to be a fixed plate, looks very disconcerting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's a safety feature. It's a safety feature that actually makes the gun safer. May I present Exhibit A of magazine disconnect?
Yeah.
Nothing like a safety feature that takes a dead gun and turns it into a live gun when you insert an empty magazine into it.
Ugh. Chillax. It's okay.
It's not loaded.
Until it is.
Yeah. All right. So do we have anything else on the docket?
Have any of you heard about the Ruger suppressor?
No.
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 Okay. Hold on a second. I only add this to the show notes then.
I mean, I'm usually way out of the loop, but if these two haven't heard about it.
All right. Second. Boom goes the dime. So Ruger has come out with a 22 caliber suppressor.
Aw, cute.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot of detail on their listing, but it is just over 5 1/4 inches in length and weighs 6.3 ounces. Obviously, it's designed for 22, and it is rated for full auto 22.
Nice.
Which is like, okay, now another reason to get an American 180.
Oh, I'll tell you right now.
It's a lot of Angry Bees.
Yeah, our friend Wally had a belt fed upper a 22 caliber belt fed upper for an AR-15, and he put it on one of his full auto guns, and we were shooting it, and it was this particular upper. It dumped all the empties out the ejection port at the magazine
well. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he literally had a P mag that he had just taken the guts out of and just put it in there and used it as a brass catcher.
Yep.
And
yeah, I've seen that.
We were shooting supersonic 22 out at like a 300 yard range. We were just blasting at the berm and just like, here, check this
sugar
out. We were firing it, and you could actually hear the Doppler effect of the rounds going supersonic going downrange, and it was literally the coolest thing I'd ever heard.
So back to the Ruger suppressor for a moment. Mm-hmm. Is according to their website, it reduces sound by 40 decibels, which from my understanding is good, is better than many suppressor out there, is a 40 decibel reduction. It's also patent pending outer tube and muzzle mount are interlocked to prevent accidental disassembly when removing the suppressor from your firearm. Hmm. Easy to disassemble, easy to clean. Each piece snaps together to seal the baffles and keep the byproduct of combustion away from the tube and end caps. It's got a titanium tube, aluminum rear cap, and steel threaded mount, baffles, and front cap. So the aluminum rear cap, I think, is a little interesting, which, I mean, because you're screwing it onto the steel threads of a barrel, and it can get cross-threaded. So I'm a little interested in why they chose aluminum for the part that threads to the muzzle. To me, it would make more sense to have that steel, and if they wanted an aluminum part, make the end cap aluminum. So if there was a baffle strike, the aluminum would deform much more quickly than a steel end, and less likely cause damage to the body of the suppressor.
Hmm.
So it is interesting. And according to the Ruger website, the suggested MSRP is $449. I don't know what that would be actual retail through like Silencer Co. or something, or Silencer Shop or someone like that.
What's super interesting about this is, number one, it's not super duper long.
Right.
And then two is they've got it threaded on. This is a round profile suppressor. Mm-hmm. And they've got it threaded on to a Ruger SR22 with what looks like standard sights. They are definitely not suppressor height sights.
Factory sights. It still clears.
It looks like you've still got a sight picture with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It may be slightly occluded at the bottom, but I'm thinking not too much.
Yeah, but you don't need that. You need just the tip. I couldn't resist.
So has the ATF actually gone e-file with the suppressors like they thought they were going to do?
It has gone live.
It has gone live.
E-44 has gone live.
It didn't crash the system within hours of going live? I'm shocked.
I haven't heard anything about that. From what I've heard, it's slow, but it works. So I'm wondering if they had some type of internal throttling or something to prevent it from crashing.
Hmm.
That's no longer my area of knowledge, so I can't address it.
I mean, I just figured there would be so many gunnies who would be like, oh, hell yeah, let's go ahead and do this. And it would crash under the weight.
I would think so, too.
Hmm.
And speaking of silencers, have you guys talked about the mass mailers from the ATF to POS to people who may or may not be breaking the law?
I've heard people talking about this, but we haven't addressed it directly.
This is news to me, so please fill me in.
Okay, so a little while ago, the ATF seized a bunch seized basically everything from from Diversified Machine, which sold quote solvent traps and stuff that they were honestly legitimately marketing as, hey, if you get your Form 1, you can buy this tube and these pieces, make these drill holes, and make your own silencer, but you do need to get your Form 1 first.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, for whatever reason, the ATF decided, you know what, we're going to raid you and take all your stuff anyways.
Because they can.
Recently, the ATF has apparently sent via FedEx letters to everybody in their customer database stating, we understand that you were a customer of this company. Just so you know, making an unregistered silencer is a felony. And if you are in possession of said unregistered silencer, then contact us and we'll talk about disposing of it, et cetera, et cetera.
Make it easy on us and incriminate yourself.
Yeah. Right. Now there is also the question of whether this is whether they're going to then take the next step of, well, these people never talked to us, so we might actually go check them out, or if it's like you said, see how many people contact them and jump on them for admitting to felonies, or if they are honestly sending these out saying, hey guys, in case you didn't know, if you were doing this, it's a felony, but we can, if you dispose of it, then we can say everything's cool.
Consult your lawyer first.
Yeah. Yes. So, funny you should say that.
Oh, dear.
A friend of the show, who I know will not want to be named, decided to build his own silencer, and he already has a couple tax stamps.
He's a philatelist.
Mm-hmm. So he, being a good boy, decided to get his Form 1 before ordering the parts. It's fuzzy as to whether you could have ordered the parts before getting the Form 1 approved, etc. But he was being a good boy and just decided to play it safe and get the Form 1 before even mm-hmm. putting in an order for the parts. Mm-hmm. And so he has his Form 1, and he has a serial number assigned to him to etch on said tube, and he got approved and all that fun stuff, and ordered the parts, and that was about the time that the raid happened, and he never got his parts. He has, on the other hand, gotten a letter from the ATF.
Yeah, so just to set the timeline a little bit, he submitted the Form 1, got that approved by the ATF. Once he had the serial number, he ordered the parts, then the ATF raided.
Yeah.
So
he ought to be fine.
Yeah, but on paper, how does he prove that he didn't get it?
Right.
That's the concern. Is how good is the record keeping of this company that just got their stuff tossed by the ATF?
Well, and since he has received one of these letters,
right, which might just be, like you said, everybody gets them,
right, which I'm trying to be on the charitable side and say, you know what, honestly, if I was a government agency, I would think it would be a good idea to go, well, these guys were doing shady stuff, let's just go ahead and blanket mailing list their entire customer base and let them know, hey, if you were doing shady stuff, quit it. But yeah, as David said, he's now a friend of the show is now in the situation of do it if the ATF ever comes calling,
what do I tell them?
Yeah. So he's going to consult a lawyer that specializes in firearms law and ask him, so do I need to pay you to write up a letter for me to let the ATF know that this silencer that exists on paper doesn't actually exist? or what do I do?
So. Yeah.
I would like to plug a friend. His name is Benjamin Blatt Esquire. He is a very, very pro 2A lawyer out of Indiana. And for context, he's the person who wrote the letter to the ATF regarding Mad Mike's hump stock.
Well, if he's not, if he doesn't listen to this particular episode, I will definitely pass that along.
I'm pretty sure that that's the lawyer he would go to. Because, yes, I remember with great amusement the hump stock.
Yes. Yes. And I remember when, because that letter to the ATF showed up again in popular YouTubes. And
Brandon Herrera, I think.
Yes, Brandon Herrera was made aware of it. And one of my friends that is kind of sort of into guns watched that video and was talking to me and asked me if I had heard about the letter. And she said, dude, I know the guy.
Yep.
Yes, it's hysterical.
Now, interestingly enough, just like the CSX is not listed on the Smith & Wesson site, the Chaos is not listed on the Kalashnikov site.
Correct. And the article that I found it on, which was 14 new guns for 2022 on
American Rifleman.
American Rifleman.
Yep, that's what I'm looking at right now.
They state that Kalashnikov USA is hoping to get it out this year, but has not said anything firm.
The last sentence of the paragraph is, the official launch date and pricing for the Chaos have yet to be determined as of this writing.
Mm-hmm.
The article was November 15th, 2021, so month and a half
right,
ago.
Yeah.
I was just hoping that there was something tossed in the show notes for it, but the answer is not yet.
Not yet, unfortunately.
That was pain. That was not...
Again, I can't tell.
I promise it wasn't me. I didn't post anything from Gunbroker.
No, I scrolled further down that list. Trailblazer Firearms shook things up in 2017 with the release of the Folding Life Card, a single-shot 22 long rifle pistol, which is about the same size as a stack of business cards. For 2022, the company is taking the 9mm pistol caliber carbine in a fresh, not the word I've chosen, direction with the new Pac-9. The upper half of the carbine pivots to the rear, and the shoulder stock collapses for a more compact storage profile, which is 20.9 inches long and 1.15 inches thick.
Which begs the question to me of, Aaron, do you happen to know how long your Sub 2000 is folded up?
No. If it's important, I can find out.
I think I, looking at this thing, I think I like your Sub 2000 better than this thing.
All right, give me a moment.
I can, okay.
Just say yes, dear.
You started it on, Paul.
Well, I mean, it's not like you said, no, it's not that important. And so, all right, you must really want to know. Okay.
I mean,
but I did put a link to the pivot in the show notes. The ultra compact folding rifle. And it's just, when it's folded up, you can still shoulder it and the barrel is pointing at you.
Is it like the Sub 2000 where the bolt is not attached?
No.
No. Here, I'll show you the picture of it in folded configuration.
No.
So
now
there it is unfolded, there it is folded. Look where the muzzle is.
Yeah. Now the trigger group is clearly disconnected from the upper assembly in the folded position.
Right. There's still a chamber.
Okay, so I've got a muzzle brake on mine that's got the little pokey bits. So that skews things. I don't really know exactly where the barrel ends. But mine, with all the doohickeys on it, are like 17 and I want to say a quarter inches folded.
And this is just shy of 21 inches folded.
Yeah.
And like I said, I've got an aftermarket pokey muzzle thing, so that's going to extend it at least a little bit.
Is it one of the compliance muscles?
No.
Okay.
What's a compliance? Oh, you mean no? This is because I have an aftermarket front sight on it, because the front sight on the sub 2000s is kind of craptastic, or at least the Gen 1 was. And so I got a Red Lion, and they came with muzzle brakes. And admittedly, at least in my experience, the 9mm in the sub 2000, there's very little recoil to begin with, so I don't really notice the muzzle brake doing much of anything. But it's got the little crowned, they're not sharp, but it was just, you know, I've got to have something to adapt it. So let's get the one that's vaguely pokey and put it on there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
For maximum amounts of rad.
and at some point that is a gun that I need to pick up at some point. I love the cobbled together in my basement aesthetics of it.
Which is odd, because you've got a Beretta Storm.
Yes.
By your command.
Well, I mean, sometimes I gotta shoot Cylons, and sometimes I've got to be part of the resistance.
The Ayatollah of rock and roller.
Yeah. It's oddball, oddball, giggity giggity goo.
Oh, so is that a show? You don't know.
I just remember
a
show.
I don't remember when we started, so.
Aaron, is that the muzzle brake that you have?
Yes.
Yeah, that is referred to as compliance, because if you jab that into somebody's sternum, it's going to get a reaction.
Oh, see, I thought you meant compliance as in you put it on so it's not considered an SBR.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense too, but this is, it's, I meant in the quote-unquote tactical
meaning. Yeah, I mean, they both make sense. I just, I wasn't thinking that, but yeah, that's what I've got.
Right, it's just like you'll hear sometimes with flashlights that they are compliance level illumination.
I want the muzzle of my gun to feel like you stepped on a Lego.
Yeah, I want the muzzle of mine to have a little pillow on.
That reminds me, because I have to explain this.
This sequitur I gotta hear.
See, you said Lego and sharp, and so Legos are caltrops, but you know what else is a caltrop? A D4.
Uh-huh.
Dice. Yeah. I got some really, really nice dice from Xander for Christmas.
Nice.
Ooh, nice.
Very nice.
And I'm going to have to share pictures, but it comes in a beautiful little tin with a purple dragon on it. And these dice, they are iridescent and they are metal, and the points are very, very sharp. They could be classed as a melee weapon, I think, because the D20 has a very satisfying heft to it, and I mean, it's not like I could cut myself on these corners, but yeah, I wouldn't want to step on any of these, especially the D4.
Right.
So Xander, when you hear this, well done, sir. I really like this.
Word of advice: if you ever do want to roll the D20. Have like don't roll it on the surface of a table that you actually like. Have something over the table.
I've got like a little dice arena or made out of leather. But yeah, I did wonder what this would do. Thunk, thunk, thunk.
Roll it on a glass top stove, see what happens.
Oh, is that like when you throw a broken spark plug at a window?
Probably very
probably.
Similar.
Because,
probably very similar.
It is tempered glass, so.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what happens when you throw a broken spark plug in a window?
You don't know?
It tends to go right through.
Okay.
The window goes away.
Yeah, so the broken spark plug being, you know, sharp pieces of ceramic will quite easily crack the tempered glass of the side of a
Yeah,
beside the passenger window.
Because windows, basically, they've got a surface tension to them. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of these rescue tools work. You only have to break it a little bit and then shatter. And so, yeah, the ceramic of the spark plug, it's sharp enough and it's hard enough that you can throw it like gravel and smash. It's really cool to Google.
Have you never seen tempered glass when it does finally break?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, yeah.
Did you see it close up or from 30-06 distance?
I threw through Nate Spencer's Dodge Shadow that I bought for $20 off of him. I picked up a large boulder and tried to throw it through the windshield.
And Aaron, I found the perfect meme for your new dice.
Yes. Yes, that is correct.
So, for our listeners, it is the Clara Doctor Who meme set, where Clara is asking, is something a lot? This time it's, is a D4 a lot of damage? And the Doctor replies, depends on the context. Roll it? No. Step on it? Yes.
And because we were talking about Legos...
You are a bad person.
I posted up the link to the STL on Thingiverse to print out, quote, the Lego Brick of Death, which is a Lego brick that instead of having
pegs.
Standard...
they're called pegs.
Pegs on top, have spikes.
Because you weren't hugged enough when you were little.
Clearly not.
Oh, and, God, this is gorgeous, Aaron.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I have seen those.
Those are pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the font of the numbers, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can hear these dice. Like, that's a good noise.
Yeah. Clackety-clack math rocks. Those are clunkety-clunk math rocks.
I believe I did mention these are made out of metal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, ooh, they're just so shiny and iridescent and pretty.
Mm-hmm. And you can put them through a drywall. I just have this image of one of your characters. I'm thinking like a gnome or a halfling or something with a sling and a set of those dice.
And I really like the dragon on the cover, of the tin.
That's so pretty.
Yep. What I'm just thinking is, my sling does 1d4 damage. Whack! Hey, Weird.
Yes?
I have an AR-15 lower that has that on it.
No step on snack?
Yes. I don't know if I
not step on snack.
You should not step on snack. I don't know if I have a picture of it. I did paint it yellow at one point as a joke and then stripped the paint off.
Why would you do that?
It didn't look good.
Oh, all right.
But I may have a picture of it.
Well, while you're searching for that, I am going to thank all of our listeners. And of course,
all of them.
Every last one of them. If you are listening to this, I'm thanking you. Like you. No, it's you. Don't look her over your shoulder. It's just you. And a very special thanks to all our supporters on Patreon. You can become our Patreon patron by going to Assorted Calibers Podcast at patreon.com or patreon.com/Assorted Calibers Podcast. I actually didn't write down this part.
Yeah, he doesn't have the script in front of him. I mean, we've done this for like 180 some odd episodes, but it's not in front of him. He can't remember it.
And yes, and you can get early release of the podcast. And then, of course, we've got bonus features, which are quite lovely, such as the ACP blooper reels, which is all sorts of off topic and off color stuff. And the ACP mag dump, which is kind of like this, but far more off topic and far more off color.
Yes.
And so, yes, that we appreciate all of our supporters on Patreon.
And don't forget to rate us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and share it with your friends both online and off.
I've got a blog, weirdworld.com. I'm also on Handgun Radio. Anybody else want to plug some stuff?
Well, I could plug where I am, but I don't want to step on Aaron's toes on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I also contribute to Blue Collar Prep. Wow, I almost had it.
Prepping.
I also contribute to Blue Collar Prepping, which can be found at bluecollarprepping.blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Hey, Oddball, do you have a blog?
I do, and one of these days I might actually write something on it. It's at gunscarstech.com, and I've got a couple things that are in the works that I need to write up, just like I desperately need to get some segments done here.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I believe that you have a blog.
Well,
I've heard about it, but...
So
it's just that Adam Guy's blog.
He actually posted something the other day involving a gun. It was like the then and now of a rifle.
Yeah. I tried to post something the other day, and the system decided, no, you can't upload pictures right now.
I curate blue collar prepping and write on it. I've got a
but you said it correctly.
And in fact, today I published a pretty neat knife hack, which a lot of people have gone to.
I've got to dig out my Mora from my car kit and do that too.
And I've neglected my nerd blog. I need to get back to writing that. And of course, pingpistols.org and blazingsword.org. By the way, if you're a Blazing Sword instructor and you, in your course of duties as an OBS volunteer, not just your day job, but if you trained people for OBS, I'm going to need to know how many people you trained and some other things. I'm going to set myself a goal. By the time this goes out, it will have been published on the OBS page, and I'm going to be asking questions, how many people did you train? Did they go on to get a gun, and did they get a license to carry, and things like that, because I need this information so I can wrap up 2021.
Okay, so just the past year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, I tried to do it for 2020. Yeah, for 2020. And just like everything else of that year, it screwed up, because some people didn't understand, or I didn't phrase it properly, but they just thought, how many people did you train? Not as an OBS volunteer, but how many people? It's like, wait, I'm getting thousands here. I knew 2020 was a banner year, and then it was like, oh, gee.
But it wasn't that banner.
Yeah, but they're going like, yeah, we don't know. And so after a while, it was just, okay, it was just the curse of the year. We trained a lot. There we go.
And of course, thanks to Nate Spencer for our music that's been looping for a while underneath that.
Oh, right. I've got to pull something out of my rear end for the round table.
We're waiting for Genius.
Fine. Our table is round, and so is his brain. something, I'm throwing shade at him, calling him a smooth brain, and I'm not, and we're assorted, and so is our podcast. Whatever. Who listens to this anyway? Good night.
Our interest in new firearms is assorted, and so is our podcast.
Good night, everybody, and let's hope 2022 beats the low expectations of 2021.